I hope that everybody understands.
I do. Well, I do completely.
Administrator has all the language.
Yeah, and I'd ask that we get the complete draft before you sign the committee.
Yeah, oh yes. We'll have it all here. Yes.
Mr. Chair, would there be provision in there to, for a report back to the next legislature?
Oh, yeah.
It's included. It's in there.
Thank you.
Sure.
It's in there.
Okay, is there any objection to the motion? If not, it is so ordered.
And that's the amendment, and I move the bill as amended, to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Moves Senate Bill 786 as amended to the floor of the Senate with, is that where it goes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Don't tell me it's got a substitution.
Waste means.
You're joking.
I would suggest, recommend to the president that both of those subsequent be rescinded.
Yeah. This is not the registration.
Okay.
Well, your registration bill.
Judiciary and waste means.
Okay.
Somebody really wanted to see this bill.
Yeah.
Right, you really wanted this one, didn't you?
Yeah.
I think there's not enough to do, just pass it on.
Did you know all these referrals were on here?
Mr. Chair, the judiciary was on there because we had a misdemeanor slightly stronger than we had meant to have, and that we had changed that.
Waste means for a budget.
All right, then, all in favor, we'll answer aye.
Senator Cooley?
Aye.
Senator Cairns?
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Chair McCoy?
Aye. So ordered.
Out of here.
And I think that, yes.
Good luck.
You come to please. Okay, we'll move right along to House Bill, oh yeah, Senate Bill 887.
What's the problem with that?
Yeah, I'm just getting it heard of myself. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 887.
Okay.
It's a bill that we heard earlier, and it, the, there was some difference of opinion on how to handle the question of determining the value of the motor vehicles and how to word the language to satisfy the Adult and Family Services Division, Legal Aid, and others. So they went off to work on amendments. They brought back the set of amendments that are before you. That were prepared on this date. This set of amendments is has been worked out by the legal aid and the groups that it represents and the division, which I understand they're in agreement that this is a workable approach to this problem. You do have in your file a letter from Senator Hamby expressing her disagreement with the amendment.
I want to point out to the chair that there's a slight error in that letter from Senator Hamby.
Is there?
Yes, the very, and our good representative, I mean, Senator at the end of the table can verify this. The last line of paragraph three where it says, under current rule of food stamp, participants must meet both the equity test as well as the excess value test, that's not true, only you only have to meet one, not both. I think it's just an error.
Okay. Okay. Is there anybody from Senator Hamby's office? Do you want to speak to the amendment? Mr. Sheketoff, you want to speak to the amendment as well? Come right up. And who else is there?
Jim Neely from Jim Adult and Family Services.
Right. Okay, go right ahead.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is James Hill, Legislative Assistant to Senator Hamby. We have some concerns in terms of the amendments that were worked out. One, that the senator does not feel that $10,000 equity in a vehicle is an appropriate test. She does not know enough about the issue to determine whether that is an appropriate amount. And in terms of the discussions with Jim Neely, in terms of how they arrived at that number, was not one based on research, or he commented to me that it was off the top of his head. So in terms of the senator would support language, and she understands and she's the problem in terms of access to ADC and the public assistance, is that maybe there ought to be more time taken in terms of to figure out what those needs tests should be. And if language in the bill directs the division to determine that without statutorily suggesting that it is this 10,000 equity limit, that she would support that type of language. We tried to work out some language today in terms of to offer us a compromise, and in terms of discussion with Kathleen Buffet and Legislative Council, our approach was, she suggested, was unconstitutional. She said, I don't know why you're worried about this, because the division can do this today. They do not need a legislative authority to do it. They can go off and they can change the eligibility requirements, and they are limited in the those eligibility requirements by federal regulations, which they can go out and then achieve a waiver for. But she indicated to me that one of the problems you should look at in it when addressing that is if you lower the requirements for public assistance and the pool of money available to pay that pays these assistance, these dollars out, remains the same, that the net effect is that your benefits to recipients will be reduced if more people enter the system. So in terms of if the approach is, if there's a serious problem in terms of the entry into the system, then there is going to be effect in terms on who that, on how much money each recipient will receive. I have no idea what those numbers will be. To reiterate, the senator has no problem in terms of supporting legislation which directs the division to find out what those appropriate tests are will be, but she does not support the $10,000 equity value.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I got two questions for these witnesses. And again, I'm really kind of over my head in this area, but will the bill amended or otherwise increase the caseload? And if so, it doesn't have to go to Ways and Means Committee. And second, do we need a federal waiver?
I'd be happy to answer. For the record, my name is Chuck Shuckatoff. I'm with Multnomah County Legal Aid on behalf of the Oregon Human Rights Coalition. The bill does need a waivers, and it directs the agency to seek the waivers, and it protects the caseload count as well as the grant amount by having language on page 2 of the engrossed version, lines end of line 8 through line 12, which says if in the event the division determines that this policy has a net fiscal cost to the state, the division will present the fiscal analysis to the Legislative Emergency Board for additional funding or direction to modify or suspend the policy. Both the agency and my clients don't want to see this impact the number of people and granny grant amounts down the line. The grant amounts are set in the budget. And so, and there's an interest on the federal government that it be cost neutral, but if it's not, the state has to eat the difference, and this is to preserve that, to get out of it if it looks like we might have to eat some money.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that was one of the ideas that we were trying to figure out this afternoon, and that is the effective legislative veto is what Kathleen Buffet said would be unconstitutional. So in terms of, she said that you can direct the division to seek the waivers and determine what the waivers will be, but if they come back and the legislature has the ability to override their determination, that would be unconstitutional.
Mr. Chairman, there is a statute, I don't know the number, that does require agencies to bring waiver approvals to the emergency board for approval before implementation, and I assume this language on lines 9 through 12 would just jive with that if they got the approval but it looked like it was going to cost money, it would come to the emergency board like they have to under another statute. And so it doesn't affect, it's different than the proposal Mr. Hill had, which was e-board approval of any rule changes by AFS for public assistance.
Okay, Mr. Neely, you want to?
Mr. Chair, for the record, Jim Neely, Assistant Administrator of Adult and Family Services Division. I believe the language that is in the new engrossed draft with the dash one amendments would protect the state from any serious fiscal liability. The federal government will require that we monitor the waiver and that we prove to them that they are not having to increase federal participation because of the waiver. In doing so, if it looks like this will be adding to the ADC caseload, we would come back to the emergency board for either increased general funding or further direction to modify or suspend the waiver.
Okay. Sarah, Ms. Fleming, you want to speak to your... Do you have the amendments?
Excuse me?
Do you have the amendments?
Yes, I do. My name is Sarah Fleming. I'm the staff person to the Hunger Relief Task Force. I would just like to say that the task force would go on record to support amendments which would follow the federal guidelines which are in the Mickey Lewin Hunger Relief, Childhood Hunger Relief Act. And Jim, do you have that right here? So I'll read you what this is. Section 5G2 of the Act, as amended by striking the $4,500 level and inserting the following: a level set by the Secretary, which shall be $4,500 through the period ending on the last day of the last month, beginning within 60 days of the date of the enactment of the Mickey Whelan Childhood Hunger Relief Act, which shall be adjusted from the $4,500 on the first day of the first month, beginning 60 days after the date of the enactment of the Mickey Lewin Childhood Hunger Relief Act, and on each October 1st thereafter, to reflect changes in the Consumer Price Index for all urban consumers, published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics for new cars, for the 12 months ending the preceding June 30th, and rounded to the nearest $50.
Yes, Senator Kearns.
So we have three options. We have the bill as printed, we have the amended bill, and we have your suggestion.
But I am willing to come up with something with these gentlemen.
Well, it seems to me that that the choice for the committee is to either go off on our own and ask for a waiver for it outside of the present federal statutes, which are about to be amended. Is that correct? We think that bill's going to pass, don't we?
We hope.
We think it will. It'd be pretty embarrassing if it didn't. You never can tell. And hook our wagon to that star.
Yeah, that way the consumer price index would be indexed each year instead of setting a limit, which we would have to hold ourselves to.
That might be only no more than, say, 5% of 4,500, which is
The current, excuse me for interrupting, the current level,
free everybody else.
right now, from that I've received from the Food Research and Action Center, it's a little bit outdated, would raise that to approximately $8,500.
The base would move to $8,500.
Yeah, exactly. That would be indexed from 1977.
Okay, so
but that would fluctuate with
$450, $425 a year in the first year from that base at a 5% CPI. It might really move up and exceed the $10,000 level after about 3 years.
It would be indexed each October 1st.
And would not require a waiver.
Well, my amendment would suggest that Oregon ask for a waiver until the Mickey Leland Act is enacted.
Oh, so yours is a hybrid. Do we vote? Right.
Okay, let's
My understanding, that affects the food stamp program, not the aid to dependent children program, which has a different standard. The aid to dependent children program excludes from the resource limit $1,500 of equity value. And equity is a better test because it shows what the person could get out of the vehicle if they had us make the choice between food, ADC, or driving to get a job, or whatever, for whatever reason to drive. And so that's why we chose the equity limit.
It makes sense.
And would like the aid to dependent children and the food stamp program to have the same amount. Because right now, when someone doesn't qualify for ADC because they have over $1,500 equity, they don't want to get rid of the car and wait till they've spent down their resources. Then they're said, well, maybe you want just food stamps, and they have run through a different test for food stamps only for no aid to dependent children.
Mr. Chairman, then yes. You're suggesting, and I'm looking on page 2, section 2 of the dash 1 in the gross bill, and it says when considering an application for public assistance. That's both sides of the equation.
That's correct. And so, because the problem with the current bill is that there's two problems. One, they use two different systems. One uses equity, one uses fair market value, right. Food stamps. And the second is both of them have limits that are way too low.
Fair market value doesn't do any good if you've got no equity.
That's right.
In fact, you can have a $10,000 automobile, which is a result of its lack of maintenance and abuse, may have $9,000 outstanding on it and have a market value of 6. Have a negative 3. That happens. You end up paying for a car that doesn't have any value. So your suggestion is to go to both programs and go to equity. Now, $10,000 is a lot of equity.
$10,000, Jim did pull out of his hat. I thought about it and talked about it with my client, and the reason we supported it because it was in a presidential budget request that never got through. In a conference committee, it was lowered to $8,000, and that didn't pass either. And so, because there was a move on the Fed, there has been other moves on the federal level to lower the, to raise the equity limit for ADC. And so, I'm not 100% wedded to the $10,000, but I think the test should be consistent for the two programs. It should be equity, and it should be a reasonable equity so that, for instance, the timber worker who has a lot of equity in the car doesn't have to sell it, and the timber worker who just bought the car before he or she got laid off doesn't have to sell it either.
Are you all in agreement on that, except for the size of the dollar value?
That is correct. I agree with that, but I would not agree with setting the limit at $10,000 of equity, because we do not have enough knowledge to be able to set that figure. And we think there ought to be a little bit more work in terms of determining what the needs test should be for entering the system. And on the surface, I can think of a lot of problems in terms of to me, $10,000 of equity is an awful lot of equity in a vehicle. I don't know very many people who have that much. I may run in the wrong circles, but in terms of if you're in a situation, there comes a point in terms of when you have to make choices as to help yourself. And I understand that it shouldn't be the point of get rid of your car and take the bus, because in some areas you don't have a bus. You don't have that ability. So in terms of if set some entry level test in terms it says, you're doing what you should do to help yourself, but you need help, you should be able to get help rather than sort of being able to sit with all this assets.
Well, I think they're probably a lot higher up the scale than you are, but I think this bill's got your name on it.
That is correct.
And so my question to you would be, what would your response be in the form of equity?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know. I don't know what the average person coming into the system has in terms of it, and how many people are being rejected because they have $1,200 or $3,000, $5,000, $6,000 of equity. I don't have that. I don't know.
Yeah, the problem is, of course, we always have to be careful that we never give the appearance that state government is permitting someone to get public assistance and thus preventing the wolf from coming in and eating the family and the groceries and even the covers bare. And we don't want to give the impression that we're somehow preserving some family equity we want to spend down. We always like that. We ought to be embarrassed by that. So, yes. So if you want us to cut the knot?
I think in terms of if you just strike the $10,000 figure and give it to the division to to come up with what the needs test should be. I don't think it should be a singular. There are other needs tests which ought to be reviewed as well, not just vehicle. Vehicle is one element of many tests, which in terms of resource tests. So in terms of if you're going to reform a system, instead of just reforming one element of the system, you ought to look to reform the whole entry-level system. So in terms of, and coming up with figuring out who you need to help and how much can you help them with. And so, you know, and then second to that is how much money do you have to help them with. Because in the original bill, there was a specific problem which we were trying to address, and now we're veering off into the, to a very a different arena, which is a lot broader.
Right. We understand that.
Chairman?
Yes. Mr.
I guess I would like the bill not only, because besides being consistent, not to make it so that the timber worker in Central Oregon who loses a job but has significant equity in a pickup truck can keep the truck and doesn't have to choose between the truck and the food. And I, 10,000 may be high. I can conceivably understand the size of pickup trucks, it could be $8,000. After 5 years of buying off a $18,000 truck, someone could have $8,000 equity in their vehicle. The fair market value less encumbrances, zero, could be $8,000, could be nine. And I don't think that person should have to choose between selling the truck to get on public assistance.
Sure, because I know these pickups. I know this.
Are you at the $10,000?
Well, it's awful close to that. But it's at least $8,500, at least. Seriously.
Nine.
5 year old. Nine's great.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, so Carol's with the, have you arrived?
Left wing caucus over here has caucused among ourselves and would move a figure of $9,000.
Okay.
That's less than proposed by the advocates and more than which failed to meet, what was that, a conference committee? You said there was a move to go to 8,500 and that didn't go.
Yeah, I believe that's a little bit outdated, so it's probably closer to about $9,000.
All right, in this range. So we're being conservative. I'd move that.
Okay. We're going to section two.
Yep, line three.
Line three.
Substitute 9,000 for 10,000.
10,000. What do you think? Mr. Neely, Mr. Sheckerbaum, that sound all right? You?
It's okay with the division.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, with my client.
Okay.
Again, I think in terms of statutorily setting the limit is inappropriate because, I mean, it may well come back at that figure. I don't know.
Well,
that's the will of the committee. That's the will of the committee.
I've got another amendment which may help you.
Okay.
Failing that, of course, we could probably take your name off the bill.
I would make a request if that's the way it's coming to come down.
Okay.
You think so?
Well, what I would do would be to task the Department of Human Resources, in addition to what we're asking here, to take a look at all of the questions of eligibility and to again report to us on the inconsistencies among the eligibilities and ask us to propose legislation or propose some kind of action that we can take with our federal partners in all of these programs, because we're in a partnership, to again stress a uniformity or try and again tend towards uniformity so that we can stop these kinds of things from happening in the future.
Mr. Chair, Senator Cairns, Two things there. Number one, there has been nationally an exhaustive study undertaken. I'd be happy to give you a report on the inconsistencies between the ADC and food stamp programs and some of the cost estimates on bringing those into more alignment. Secondarily, there is House Bill 3309 suggesting a group to take a look overall at the welfare system.
Is that already out there? And is it moving?
I believe it is, Senator.
It's a work session tomorrow.
Well,
whose committee?
Why don't we import that into this thing?
In House Human Development Services Committee. It was the result of a work group that was set up, came out of the former Ways and Means, Joint Ways and Means Committee, and it's to study the overall welfare system.
Is that, is 3309 finished? Is it in finished form?
I would not expect that the work, that the committee will move it out tomorrow as agreed to by the work group. And
oh, all right. Well, then, that being the case, then why don't we, I'll delete that portion of my amendment and let that go forward. But it's, we're only doing this by virtue of the fact we have all these inconsistencies and we don't have anything that provides for a CPI adjustment. Does it have all the appropriate words otherwise to link us to the federal legislation which you referenced? It does not. We need to add those. Is that correct? We're asking for a waiver, but you're suggesting that we go beyond that and say that in addition to that we also plug in with the Mickey Leland bill. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would just like to see any kind of limit that we establish here be indexed either on a yearly or biannually basis.
Yes, it should be. Yeah.
Well, I would agree to that, but let me, maybe I'm dense, maybe I've missed something. The feds have the opportunity, they may well act this Congress, is that correct?
Yes, they may. We
think they may.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a greater possibility than not this time than
last, yes.
Right. Got a good name on the bill.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, do we want to reference, as you suggested, that this have a mechanism to pick up those new federal regulations at the time, or do we want to just do this on our own and ask for a waiver for the interim? Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, Senator Cairns, if the federal legislation does substantially the same thing that we're trying to accomplish now, we are better off using the federal legislation than continuing on with the waiver. So if we had language that suggested if the mm-hmm. federal legislation passes, we would revert to that language.
Is that in this bill?
No.
Mr. Chairman.
Shurkoff wants to jump in there and tell me that I shouldn't have a federal Chairman, for state statute.
No, I'm not going to tell you that.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Chairman, I think the problem with my understanding of the federal statute is that it only deals with the food stamp program, not the ABC. And this bill is trying to keep them consistent. Now, I would agree that the federal statute is enacted, and that seems to solve the problem. Then this could be, they could remove the waiver, but they should be consistent with the other goal we're trying to deal here.
Okay. That's the real key point.
Well, Mr. Chairman, then those are my motions that... we make it 9,000, we index it, we ask for the waiver, and we hope that one day this will all be squared up and we won't go through this anymore.
Okay.
I don't know if Mr. Hill still wants to have his name on this bill. You still want to be on associated with this bill?
I would request that my name be removed.
And that we remove the name of the requester, but leave Senator Hanby's there as the requester.
You might want to talk to her about that. I don't know.
And in the event that she no longer wants to be associated with it,
be a committee bill.
Then it'll be, I would move that it be sponsored by the committee.
Okay, you've heard the motion. Is there any objection? There being none, it is so ordered.
Move it, where's it going? To the floor?
Let's see.
Yeah, move the floor with the pass recommendations amendment.
Okay, Senator Cairns moves Senate Bill 887 as amended to the floor of the Senate with the due pass recommendations. Discussion? All in favor then, answer aye.
Senator Cooley?
Aye.
Senator Cairns?
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Chair McCoy?
Aye. So ordered.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Cairns.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I see in the audience a colleague and a freshman member from Lane County who has joined us, left her other busy schedule to join us to talk about House Bill 2846. I don't know whether she had made her presence known to you or not on that bill.
Oh, on that bill?
That is correct. I don't know whether you want to get out of order or not, but I'd certainly hope that courtesy would be extended.
Yes, we will come back to order. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I didn't. Were you all there? Were you there the whole time?
I wasn't near my phone. Oh. Yeah, it was fine. I took a little break.
All right. Slow down, dude.
Oh, we just passed it on.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
Dead body bill.
Dead body.
Thank you so much.
How we get rid of them after they're dead?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'm hoping that while this is a very serious issue, that we don't treat it with complete and utter graveness that it probably warrants. I'm here to discuss dead bodies.
Mm. And, no, we won't be too grave.
I'm, for the record, Cynthia Wooten, State Representative, District 41, Eugene, Oregon, and with me is Mr. Jim Lemieux from the Sacred Heart Health Systems. He is the risk manager. We come before you with House Bill 2846. It's really a small bill of statute clarification. The issue was raised, incidentally, it passed the House of Representatives on a 59-0 vote. It is a bill which was structured to really put some parameters around statute right now. The issue at hand.
You're making it too complicated. All DSL is doing the paperwork. They're just sending it out of their office to them to do the paperwork. If the deed goes, the title goes by action of the court to the department to satisfy the claim. You are not permitted by statute to perfect a new deed in order to sell the property. Is that correct?
That's correct.
DSL has that ability to do that. They're doing it pro bono. If I read the division's letter here, they're doing it pro bono at the cost of $30,000 per biennium. Just
15.
Free, oh, well, 15 a year, yeah, 30,000 biennium, because they like these guys.
Mm-hmm. No, they have to because it's in the statute. They don't like them at all.
They may not like them. We don't care. What you're trying to do is move that off of your budget and back to them, because you never had ownership, title, or interest.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kearns, that's correct. This process is just simply a processing form, and we envision this bill as simply a way to make government a little bit more efficient and give that authority to Senior Services Division, which has all the rights and interests in the property.
They're going to, once they get the, once they've got clear title to it in their own name and get it all ready to go, they sell it. And you then can convey it to that other party. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kearns, that's correct.
All right. Yeah. So that's all we're doing.
Why should we set up another division to do that when we have one that already does it?
No, we're cutting them out of the business.
In the business of doing that.
Yeah, but they're doing it for $30,000 per biennium, and these guys want to do it on their own hook.
It's got to cost somebody.
Probably cost $60,000 for them to do it.
That's right. Yeah, you're right.
Senator McCoy, members of the committee, we prepare all the documentation.
Right. And that's not what you're out there to do. Your charge and mission is to do for Senior Services.
Right.
The seniors, that's your business. Now we're going to put you in the business of
real estate.
I mean, you really shouldn't even want to do that.
Well, you know, I don't want to get into a discussion of the merits of a state recovery, but it saves the state multi-millions of dollars, something like $7 or $8 million in general funds this biennium.
That's right.
And all this is a sort of a small technicality. We can live with this. We think it's more efficient, less bureaucratic, frankly, to just let us process the paper to the end instead of getting it all the way to the door and then handing it through a slot to somebody else who has to get the deed for us. They then send it back to us and we mail it to the person. I mean,
Mr. Chair?
Yes,
right. I'm in sympathy with the division here because they're already in, the senior citizens, our senior services business. Are already in the business. I mean, we put them in that business, but just when the bill was drafted initially, this one right to reconvey or to convey wasn't granted.
Right.
And
I think it'll be more efficient. They're not asking for additional people or money to do this. It's simply a matter of them signing the deed that apparently they're already preparing. And I don't think the state is in jeopardy or loses anything from this happening. So I'm in favor of the bill.
All right. Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Kearns.
If we didn't pass this bill out and you still had to go through this business with the Division of State Lands, you'd still be in the estate recovery business, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And you'd still end up conveying properties to new owners that you got as a result of estate claims and probate. Is that correct?
That is correct, Senator.
So you will continue to do that and return us dollars, which we can then use to match federal dollars to extend the activities of the division, I mean the department, which is what we're doing.
That's
is that not correct?
That is correct.
But all we'll do is cost you, are they billing you anything for this?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kearns, no we're not.
Why not?
Good guys.
Mr. Chairman,
they like you.
Gotcha.
They like you.
Gotcha.
Is that it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kearns, under Oregon Revised Statutes 273-081, the division has statutory authority to convey property or to assist other state agencies without fee. And we also have the authority to charge a fee. We just have opted at this point not to charge a fee because of the limited number of these over the years.
16.
All right. You want to get rid of this responsibility.
Mr. Chairman.
You've been trying for several years now.
Mr. Chairman, the division sees this bill as just as a housekeeping bill that would make Senior Disabled Services Division a little bit more efficient and to take responsibility from us and give it back to them.
Mr. Chair, I would move the bill to the floor with the due pass record.
I will accept that motion.
Okay. Well, why don't we table this, Dave?
Yeah.
You said you won't?
No, I
said you're not going to accept that motion? The other one is a superior motion. If it were made, would come ahead of that one.
Sure.
And it's not the other.
I know. Well, let me
it's
think about it.
It's a pleasure of the chair.
All right. I'm going to think about that.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to think about it.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Chair, House Bill 23-07 would prohibit real estate covenants which have the effect of prohibiting the use of property as an adult foster care home. This grows out of a specific case where an exclusionary covenant in real property led to the exercise of that exclusionary covenant to try and bar the creation of an adult foster care home.
I don't really like this.
Explain this one to me.
Are you ready for a motion?
Senator Springer?
So moved.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, I will support that motion, but I think that for purposes of discussion in support of the motion, we ought to make sure the members understand what it is we're doing.
Yes.
Before we do it, I think Senator Cooley had some question about what was going on with the bill.
No, I'm moving the bill.
Sure.
Right.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to oppose this bill. I've run into it twice in Central Oregon. Dealing with the one that was passed previously, where suddenly in a residential neighborhood a home was bought and turned into a house for, let's see, for the mentally ill, and of course it violated both the CC&Rs and the city zoning ordinances, and it's a little bit of a NIMBY attitude, I realize, not in my backyard, but the people who in the neighborhood had purchased their homes thinking it would be a residential area. And there were plenty of other homes available in the city and the county that didn't have these types of restrictions. And so I don't want to expand the existing law, so I'll vote no on this.
Okay. Further discussion?
Feel the same way.
Well, Mr. Chairman?
You like the bill?
No.
He hates it.
I don't think he likes it.
I don't like this bill.
I think you figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I finally figured it out.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, I like this bill. Let me tell you why. I'll tell you why. We have all across the state, in all of these areas, we have the five or fewer standard in foster care, adult foster daycare, adult daycare, child family daycare, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they are all subject to this kind of thing, and it makes it very difficult for people. It's the NIMBY question. And I really think we ought to make a policy that says that all of the things being equal and appropriate, that people not be held up by restrictive covenants. And that I think that
is that's just five or fewer?
Yes, that's the law.
The fire
five or fewer.
Mm-hmm. What are we doing with this law?
We're simply saying that when you meet the test for an adult foster home, which is five or fewer, that you can't be kept out of a neighborhood for those by a restrictive covenant. That's all it says. And Senator Bryan has had experience with that, where they cause a disturbance when people think it's inappropriate in that neighborhood, primarily based on the home value. It's a real, you know, if somebody's in a upscale neighborhood and decides they're going to do this, boy, it just rattles everybody in that neighborhood.
It's what happened.
Sure does.
And they reconstructed the home to provide for guardrails and ramps and that sort of thing, and took out part of the lawn for a parking lot. So it was not a happy situation.
Yeah, and everybody else is just cranky. I have a number of these in my neighborhood, and they don't do that, and it works very well.
So,
I ran into the same.
Move the bill.
Oh, he moves the
good bill. I've had lots of them in my neighborhoods too. Been through the wars on this, and that's part of the community's responsibility to provide opportunities for.
I just went through this with an AIDS hospice. You're not fun. We got it done.
That would be an interesting one.
We got it done.
Well, would you like to speak on behalf of the bill?
Or just you want to just watch it go?
This is Representative Bryan's administration.
Mr. Chair, committee, for the record, I'm Gretchen Beener. I'm legislative assistant for Representative Tom Bryan. This bill was introduced by the supporters of adult foster care facilities, and Representative Bryan drafted some amendments that would specifically address a problem in his constituency. The bill specifically has an exclusion that you cannot overcome the age discrimination CCNRs in areas such as King City and Summerfield. Basically that if the neighborhood is 55 and over, which King City, Summerfield, etc. are, you can't bring in adult foster care folks who are under senior citizen age. They would have to be senior citizen age folks.
Oh.
Which most, you know, the vast majority of them are. About 95% of them are.
Oh my. Gee, thank you for inviting her up here.
Yeah.
So you guys got to take a look at it. Might have been better off. So
it basically would say you can have the adult foster care, you just can't have folks under 55 in that particular area.
Yeah, you don't want all those quads, all them 28-year-old quads wandering around the neighborhood having drag races in their
loud stereos.
Disturbing all the creakers, you know. Do you understand what this is about?
Parties.
Where do you read that?
What they're saying is it's an ageist amendment.
Where's the amendment, though?
It's apparently in this stuff here in the middle.
Well, we don't read the code, the numbers, the ORSs, huh?
It's only a one word change. They took out the word age, which was in the original bill.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
It's very simple how to fix it. But obviously that was a concern for the folks who live in King City, Summerfield, Highlands, and other, obviously there are other senior citizens in the communities.
No way.
I want to think about it some more now.
You want to think about it?
Yeah, I want to think what that means. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think I get along with Senator Springer that if this is a community responsibility, that's what it is, not age related. I didn't read that in that bill. Let's look at what that is.
On age.
We sure could. We could pass the original bill.
Mm-hmm. Well. There's one other.
I was directed if there was a problem with that amendment, I'm to go to get Representative Bryan and have him down here.
Well, you got 10, you got 8 minutes, and we're on the floor session.
We're on the floor, so we'll probably take it over to the next time. Can we take this under advisement?
Yes, we can.
Senator Springer's motion.
Do you feel something coming on there, Senator?
Springer withdraws the motion.
Thank you.
You'll let us know when.
I always want to accommodate Senator Bryan here. Can.
I was in the house when they were doing.
Watch this space.
Yeah. Okay. Bryan and I
will. We'll pick it up at the next meeting.
We get lots of your okay.
Calls. There's no further business to come before the committee. We are adjourned. So that her name be removed, the sponsor of Senate Bill 887, as amended, as long as it will be printed.
Right, and it will be.
As
it will be
amended, it would enlarge the number of recipients while lowering the benefits. Thanks. To Matt Hamby.
Right.
Okay. We've got that taken care of.
Yeah. Do it by the committee then.
Right.
Piece of cake.
I'll take care of it.
There's no further business to come before the committee. We are adjourned. Mr. Hill.